Stacy Roberts is in the studio with me tonight. We're fortunate here in Cincinnati that we have a wealth of writers, and Stacy's one of them. He's here tonight to talk about his first book, which is titled Trailer Trash with a Girl's Name. Stacy, welcome to Round Cincinnati.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start at the beginning, and I think I'll just ask you to read from Trailer Trash and introduce our listeners to how you came into the world. So read to us, if you would.
I will. I came home from the hospital 2 months later. Because of Lane the Favorite's second birthday, no great fuss was made over me. I didn't know any better, so I cooperated. I was quiet, probably because my lungs weren't fully cooked, and unlike my brother, I was content to lay in my own filth. As I got older, I grew less cooperative. I was so angry about my name. I'm sure I would have been happier with the hospital's original plan for me, baby boy. Would I have gotten teased any less? Doubtful. But with a name like that, maybe I could have had a career as a rapper or a 1920s gangster. Do banks still get robbed with Tommy guns, or do I have to do it 21st century style, where I hack in and steal a penny from every account in the bank? If that's the case, I guess it wouldn't matter if my name was Susie or Sheila. To this day, I still let my mind wander, thinking of good, strong, manly names. Names that make me sound taller and less doughy, with a firm, resolute hairline and a stunning anatomy. If my children had been boys, I would have given them right and proper names, that's for sure. Hawkwing McKiller Roberts, you stop playing with those dolls right now. Or, Stone Crusher Flint Roberts, don't let that kid take that toy from you. Knock her teeth out. They're just the first set anyway. As it turned out, I had girls. But I knew just what to do. I gave them girls' names.
So this is like a living the a boy named Sue experience.
I can't tell you how many times that analogy has been made.
Sure.
And how many times I said, Sue, I think that's an improvement. Maybe I should take that.
Well, there's also something else that's front and center in your memoir, which is a trailer. So tell us about this trailer, how it came about, where you went.
My parents got divorced in 1975, 76, and my mother remarried a guy named Ted who worked for a lighting company, and they transferred him to California, and we lived in New Jersey. And so they thought it would be fun to buy a Winnebago RV, 25 feet long, 6 feet wide, and we would travel across the country and go to California that way. They made it sound like a camping trip. But we lived in that Winnebago for 5 years. And so now I tell people proudly that I'm rehabilitated trailer trash.
You obviously have a great sense of humor. Do you think that you were just born with that, or did your name prompt you to go in that direction as opposed to putting your fists up?
I think so. I was no good with my fists. And so I had to inventory what I had left over, and humor helped me out. If you can laugh at yourself, other people stop laughing at you. And it's hard not to see the funny in everything. And it became my ally as I was growing up and living in a motorhome for 5 years and traveling around from one trailer park to another and near death experiences. In retrospect, after you survive all that, you can look back on it and say, oh, wait a second, that was funny. And when I was telling these stories to people when I was a teenager filled with angst, they said, well, that doesn't sound so bad. That actually sounds kind of funny. And I was like, but what about my pain? What about my horrible experience? They said, yeah, no, it's funny. So that's how that kind of gave me the idea to put them down in a book and see if they would make other people laugh.
You write in your acknowledgments that you previously thought writing was a solitary experience, which I think a lot of us do, you know, the sort of the artist in the garret kind of idea. But what did you find out? And, you know, were there experiences that surprised you or things you learned about yourself in the process?
Yes. You know, when you write alone in your garret, it's too easy to think that every word that flows from your pen is genius and it's perfect the way it is. I originally published some of these stories as a blog, and I got incredible feedback from other writers on social media, people who supported them, people who pointed things out to me about these stories that changed my way of looking at them. What came out of that was, if you're going to put this in a book, there's a way to make that work that's relatable to everybody who didn't live in a trailer and didn't have a girl's name. There are things about the characters in this book that are redeeming. I mean, some people that I set out to make fun of, to hold up as a caricature, I got feedback from people who said, well, you know, your mom really was a good person and she really did work hard and she did do her best. Her intentions were good. Her execution may have been flawed, but that's parenthood. That's how that works, which I found out when I became a parent. And so it gave me a perspective on these stories that wasn't just a substitute for psychotherapy. And it made me appreciate my childhood more. It made me appreciate my parents more, my family more. And so without that perspective from other people, other writers who read these things early, this would have been a totally different book.
Well, let's talk about your mom a little bit, because she's an interesting character in this book, starting with choosing your name. What's her response to the book? Is she living?
Yes. Yes. She actually, she called me a couple weeks ago and we were talking about something else. And she just said, "Stace, you don't know me very well at all." And I said, "Well, wait a second. I think I do. I have the facts straight. I have the timeline. I don't understand you, because even though we're a lot alike in certain ways, you know, our ambition, our drive and all of that, some of her methods just stunned me.
For instance,
the Winnebago was a big blindsider. Also, my name, my middle name is Ryan. I often said to her, "I know you can do it because you got my middle name right. So what were you thinking?" And I never got an answer. That's the thing about my mother, is that she never really answers the question. I mean, she actually said, "Oh, I thought you were going to die." Well, what does that mean? Is my name a throwaway? It's not going to matter anyway, because, you know, I'm not going to have it very long. And she just never gave me an answer. And she always leaves me wondering as to what her intentions were at the time. But she's read the book, and it's dedicated to her. I mean, I would not be the person I am without my mother. And she had to do what single parents have always had to do, which is be mother and father and do the best she can with limited resources. And for me to criticize what she did and the way that she did it is to say that I'm not awesome myself, that I'm not a good person, that she didn't have anything to contribute to that, which was one of the other things that I learned while writing this book. And so after we had that conversation, I kept asking her, "Well, tell me the story of the time that your dad brought the horse home into the kitchen and it dropped dead on the floor." And so she's a great source of material, because after reading this book, she said, "Oh, remember the time." And now I've got all kinds of new stories that I didn't even know about. So it's good.
Wonderful. That leads me to my next question. Before we went on air, you were talking about having done a podcast.
Right.
And you're now have your first book under your belt, so to speak. So where do you go from here? Do you think you'll keep writing?
Absolutely. I've been writing since I was 11 years old. On the docket, so to speak, is the sequel to Trailer Trash. It deals with my stepfather's life of crime and how he finally fell from grace and got captured. And my mother's next husband, her fourth husband, Marvin, King of the Jews, he was a character too. So the second book is about that. And then I also have other novels that I've been working on, more serious work that I hope to get published. And now that I've been through this process of doing this, hopefully that will get easier as I go along.
And can you devote a lot of time to writing at this point in your life, or you have another career also?
Yeah, I own my own business in Northern Kentucky, and it occupies quite a lot of my time. But like anything else, I found that in order to do this well, in fact, somebody very wise said that I have to approach writing as if it were my job, as if it were the only way that I made money, and devote to it the same kind of energy and intensity that I do with everything else. And so that means at a certain point, you have to stop everything else and just do this in order to do it well.
Well, it's wonderful to talk with you tonight. Thank you for sharing Trailer Trash with us, and especially your name. Stacy Roberts has been with us tonight on Around Cincinnati. You'll find more about his memoir, his first book, titled Trailer Trash with a Girl's Name, at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.